You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, we're back, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, December 15th, episode 3840, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Mucking around the barnyard in my poop-encrusted boots. Catching up on the latest equestrian news with my Horses in the Morning crew. Mucking around the barnyard in my poop-encrusted boots. Listening to the horses munch contentedly on their grain and alfalfa cubes. You will get a sinking little feeling when you see that snarky pony stall door standing wide open for all to see. Mucking around the barnyard in my poop-encrusted boots. Now I'm dashing through the snow and the wind makes it feel like it's -2. Now I'm starting to question my entire lifestyle. Surely those folks with goldfish don't have to go through these trials. Mucking around the barnyard in my poop-encrusted boots. Trying to hold on to what's left of my sanity and later venting to the auditor group.
That was Ashley Crabtree from 2019. I dug that one out.
Man, I mean, nothing says how sexy we are until you hear a song like that.
That's kind of catchy, isn't it? My poop-encrusted boots. That's what the name of the song. That's what I'd name that song. Good job, Ashley. I'm going to play some of these older ones that I've dug out for you guys this week. Because you know what? They're classics. Why not play them? Well, did you see the big news about the Olympics?
I did not. What are you talking about?
Well, the 2026 Winter Olympics are being held in Italy. By the way, that's February 6th through the 22nd. So it's coming up. And there's been an official honorary coach named for the United States Olympic team.
Oh boy.
Snoop Dogg is back again.
Hey!
He's, of course, we all remember him from the last Summer Olympic Games, and he was the hit of the whole Olympics, I think. Well, they're having him back, and now he's the what do they call him? Honorary coach. His duties are going to be less focused on training, and they said more on providing motivation, sharing wisdom, and boosting awareness for the athletes who represent the country on the world stage. And probably handing out cases and cases of marijuana. I don't know. I don't know about that part, but
I don't think the Olympic athletes will take him up on it there. Maybe when they get home. I don't know. Snowboarders is a whole different thing.
I am so happy about this. That was the highlight of watching. It really was.
It was. It was fun.
Especially when, remember, crip walking?
Oh, yeah. The dressage horses. Yes, yes, yo!
Yes. So, good job, Snoop. He's coming back. I bet you in 100 years he didn't think that he was going to end up being the mascot of the Olympics.
You know, whoever dreamed that up just should get a raise.
It really should. All right. Today we're going to look back at the 2025 NFR and Cowboy Christmas with Auditor Rachel. It's one of the largest attended horse events in the country and probably the world. And we'll find out how it went. Plus, we take our annual look at the Neiman Marcus 25 or holiday gift fantasy guide, which is the really expensive gifts. And Jamie goes shopping. We're going to hear about that. Plus, in the Auditor Post Show, Jamie, we're going to be talking about Christmas cookies.
So okay.
That's in the Auditor Post Show. But now, before we get to Daily Winnies, years ago, I missed, and this is what started my trauma. This is where I got the trauma about missing people's birthdays. And I didn't remember how it happened until I came across this classic. Years ago, if you remember, I mean, this is probably 8 years ago, Scary, who's one of our auditors, sent us a song, complaining that we missed his birthday. And then ever since then, I've been super paranoid about missing birthdays. Well, then the next year, he sent this song I'm going to play for you as part of the Radiothon songs, and it just brought the trauma even closer to home. Here's Scary.
Hey, Glenn and Jen, it's me, Scary with two R's. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Glenn's just a little bit mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause Glenn says I've been nothing but bad. Well, it happened about this time just a year ago, when I sang to get a birthday whinny. How was I to know it would turn into a revolt that now haunts Glenn every episode of Horses in the Morning? So I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Glenn's just a little mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Glenn says I'm just a pain in the end.
That's scary. I remember that song when he sang it, the first song where he was calling me out, and I think I did lose it a little bit. So
that was one of the whole discussions about you guys behind the curtain here. When Glenn wanted to start doing birthdays, I was like, you are going to make more people mad than you make happy, because you're going to forget people's birthdays and then they're going to get mad. And then how are you going to handle that? Well, apparently he handles it like this, just pure terror.
That's what it is. All right, Daily Winnie time. And apparently we moved some files around and I can't find the birthday song, so I got to dig something out or have somebody sing us a new birthday song that we could play at the show, because I can't find it. So
you can't find the no, chilly birthday Winnie?
I can't find it. I don't know what happened to it. We had to move some files around. I don't know if I got lost or what, but happy birthday to everyone we missed over the last 2 weeks because of holiday week, and we were off last week, and I know I missed some people, and now they're going to be mad at me too. So happy birthday to all of you. I would mention your names, except I do it on Facebook and I can't find them. So today's birthdays are Melly Hernandez, Caitlin Kennedy, Terry Emmett, Jen Vale, and Lisa I can't say her last name. Lisa knows who she is because I can't say her last name every year. Tomzik. I'm going with
okay.
That. Tomzik. So happy birthday to all of you. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that will not be mad at me.
Yeah, just somewhat mad because you pronounced her name wrong.
Also, very special congratulations to Max Cochran. She's been on the show a number of times. Of course, she's one of the best known grooms in the world and groomed for the O'Connors for years and years and years. And she was awarded the 2025 Wofford Cup at the USEA convention. That is the big award at the USEA convention. It recognizes individuals who have made outstanding lifelong contributions to the betterment of the sport of eventing. And it's so cool. I was chatting with her a little bit on Facebook this morning, and she said it was a total surprise. She had no idea. So I'm just so happy for her. She deserves it. She's one, you know, we like it when the good guys win. She's one of the good guys. So
I love that they named it after Jimmy Wofford, the Wofford Cup. That's so cool.
Yes. And that's kind of like the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars. Yeah. You know, that's what it is. That's what's comparable. And Max certainly deserves it. And I'm going to try and get her on. I don't know if it's going to be this year yet, but we'll get her on and have another chat with her. But she's absolutely lovely. All right, your turn.
Well, I don't know where to start. Let's start with Lucas he played his second ever tennis tournament. And just as a proud mom, I have to give him a little what, because he came in second place. Hey. And he lost, he didn't win the whole tournament because it went to a tiebreaker. So, I mean, he's 12 and he's playing in the 14 and under, and everybody he was playing is in ninth grade and he's in seventh grade. And he just went out there and crushed it. And, you know, I could be proud of him playing so well, but you know what? He's just such a nice kid. His sportsmanship is so good. He's polite. He's honest. He's just everything that you would want to raise your child to be. I'm just really, really happy that he found something that he enjoys and he works really hard at it. And Glenn, if you think horseback riding is expensive, like the lessons, good God.
Well, I used to pay like $25 an hour for tennis lessons when I played.
Yeah, it's more than that now. Now he does a group lesson a couple of days a week, but then like when he has these tournaments, chats like, we need to get him a private. And he's like having a private lesson with a coach at OU. I mean, like one of the former players at OU who like coaches the kids. And yeah, it's expensive. And then it's like, oh, but he has to get another racket. And then he needs, it's like he needs tack.
Oh, and shoes. You're replacing your shoes every 10 minutes for some reason.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Tennis rackets and shoes and lessons.
I have to ask you
about
the tournament. Because when I played, I always came in second because I could never beat the number one kid, no matter how many times I played. I could never beat the number one kid because it was, we called him Country Club. He had a name, but I can't say it on the air. We called them country club kids because they grew up at the age of 2 years old with a racket and private lessons for their entire life. And there was no way you were beating that guy. There was such a disparity between the number one and number two because the number one just crushed the number two because they were country club kids.
Well, I think that they do a better job of ranking them and kind of keeping them in groups. But I swear to God, the kid who won the tournament looked 27 years old. I mean, he was 9 feet tall and like had a reach like Novak Djokovic. Like it was ridiculous. I mean, it was huge. And I'm just looking, I'm like, how is my little boy in here with these men?
It's supposed to be 14 and under.
Yeah, it's 14 and under. And they were all pushing. They were hanging on to 14, all of them. Bless their heart. But Lucas just so good. And we're just, I was super pleased with them. It was a great family weekend for sure. So I'm really happy with that. Now, how was your trip?
What happened? Oh, yeah. We went up to visit Helena and Buck and spent a couple days with them. And Helena says hello to everybody. Of course, longtime listeners will know she was my first co-host almost 18 years ago now.
And, on a different show, not this one.
Not this show, but a different show. And she's doing great. She's doing college and going for her master's degree. And Buck's teaching college. He's a professor. Wow. And they have a cute farm up there in Aiken. And I still like Aiken. Aiken's a cool place. If we moved out of here, we'd move to Aiken. I really liked Aiken. Now it's colder up there.
Well, I mean, you lived in Lexington and now you live in Ocala. How you need to go to Aiken next.
To make the trifecta right there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But she says hello to everybody that she misses you all. And she's really not on social media anymore. So I know a couple of you were looking for Helena to chat with her and she's off of Facebook. So she's not on Facebook anymore. She said her life is so much better now that she's not. So I kind of believe that in a way.
Weird.
Yeah, weird. So anyway, I got to talk to you about something that I saw on your Facebook page.
Okay.
You texted me. We talked actually last week. We never talk when we're off. But
you kept texting me and I was driving and I can't text and drive. I'm just not qualified.
Well,
I actually texted
you on the way down and you were heading to a surprise gift for Christmas. Tell us about that.
Yes. Oh my gosh, my husband's so cool. So it'll spoil the gift, but that's okay because my husband, he's been wanting to get me a car because I have this car that I drive and I don't really love it. It's just like a mode of transportation.
You used to have a bug when we visited you. You were driving a bug.
Yeah, I drove a convertible Beetle and I loved it, but it was a stick shift. And when my shoulders started to go bad, it just was too hard to shift. And so I sold it and bought this Hyundai and been driving that around. Long story short, he was like, I want to get you a car that you like. And I was like, I don't really like cars. And he was like, you used to like a Beetle. And I was like, okay, here's the thing. I will take a new car, new to me, of course. But I was like, it has to be a Beetle. It has to be a diesel because I'm so tired of putting gas in cars. It's annoying. It has to be diesel. It has to be the TDI version. It has to be automatic. And I want it to be bright yellow like SpongeBob.
Diva mode.
And he's like, because they don't make those. It's like when I ordered Taco Tuesday, I was like, I want a pony that does this. And it has to be a Pinto. Like they don't make those, the yellow Beetle diesel, whatever. And he was like, okay, you know. So 2 days later, he's like, we're going to Dallas, you know. So we drive down to this dealership and I swear to God, you guys, if you want something, just put it out into the universe because I said all those things. We drove up and it was all those things. Automatic, diesel, yellow, I mean, all the things and in great shape. So we bought this car. So I'm driving the car around. And then he's like, okay, since we're in Dallas, the other thing I want to do is I want to take you to that place called Teskey's. And I'm like, what do you mean you want to go to Teskey's? He's like, let's go to the tech shop. My cousin lives in Boyd. He was like, I've got the kid taken care of for the night. I'm going to take you to Teskey's and then we're going to go stay at your cousin's tonight. I was like, Okay. So we get to Teskey's. No. Oh. You guys.
I want to see your, I wish we had a picture of your face when you walked in the door.
I mean, I learned about it because of Farm Boy. He told me about it. And I was like, that doesn't seem real. And then I looked it up online. And so when I walked in, I was like, when you just drive in the parking, you're like, it feels like I'm in a little town.
It's like a compound. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It is. And it was, we were stuck in traffic for hours to get there. Texas traffic, Dallas traffic is insane. So we got there at 5 and they closed at 6.
Oh, no.
So I had 1 hour to walk around and look for stuff. And it is overwhelming. You walk in and I sent Glenn a picture of me, what I took with just the saddles. And it's just 100 square yards of Western saddles.
They apparently have between 1,000 and 1,500 saddles.
It's crazy. And so we walked in and I mean, the first thing I do is I walk up to the saddle and I look at the price tag of the first one. And I was like, oh my God, it was like $7,000. Then the next saddle was like $9,000. And I'm in this section, everything is thousands of dollars. I'm like, when did Western tack get this expensive? So turns out I was in the barrel racer section. I'm like, not getting a barrel saddle. Those are crazy. So I finally found an employee and I'm like, can you explain? She was like, okay, this is the barrel saddles. This next section is the stock horse saddles. This next section is the roper saddles. This next section is, and it was like, there's a different Western saddle for everything, much like English. And some of you guys are like, duh, obviously. But I don't know anything about it. I don't know how to do any of that. But I've been wanting to get a saddle so I could ride miles because I was given a saddle by dear sweet Pat Roberts. And I love it. And it is like, it is beautiful and wonderful, but it's 49 pounds. And I just can't lift it up. On a 16 two-hand thoroughbred. It's insane. It's so heavy. So I was like, I want a lightweight Western saddle, one over the other. And so we walk around and she's like, oh, okay, you want a lightweight saddle? And I was like, I want a sort cattle and I want a saddle that's lightweight. And she walked me over to this section. She's like, okay, try this one. I got measured for a saddle. It was just the coolest place. It's the coolest place. And she put the saddle on the thing and I sat in and I was like, oh my God, this is so comfortable and amazing. She's like, it's perfect. And it's like 4 pounds. I mean, it's so lightweight. It's crazy. And I looked at the price tag.
$5,000.
No, not 5,000, but for a lightweight Western saddle, like not a fancy brand, it was $1,500.
That's what Jennifer paid for her lightweight one. That's
now, that mind works. You, like 10 minutes ago, I got a car. Okay. So I get this car and we go all the way to Teskey's and I find the saddle and it's $1,500. And I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. Thank you very much. And she goes to take it away and Chad goes, we'll take it. I'm like, hold on. Okay, just 5 minutes ago, I got a car and now I'm getting a saddle. And so I turned to him in the middle of the store and I said, am I dying? Have you gotten a call from a doctor that they've said that this is the end of my life and I'm dying and you're trying to like fill all the bucket wish things? Like, what is going on here? He's like, you're not dying. I'm like, are you cheating on me? Why am I winning the lottery today? And he's like, because you're marching towards death. All of us are. Just get the damn, we'll take the saddle, wrap it up. And then I'm like, I'm carrying like an English saddle. And Shelby, who works there, I'm like, can you tell me how to carry a Western saddle? I don't even know some cool cowboy way to do things. And then like, I was like, what about this head stall? No, you don't want to have that head stall because you won't have to kind of, I was like, make me not look like a douchebag and find me a bridle that matches and I'm going to be good. She's like, I love customers like you. This is great. Yeah, so I've yelled in the store, am I dying? I've asked her to not make me look like a douchebag with Western bridles, because apparently the one ear is only for the shank bits. And if you roll up with the one ear bridle with a snaffle bit, everybody's going to talk about you behind your back. Like, I had no idea of all these things. I'm like, give me all the deets, Shelby. What's going on? Anyway, it was great. And now I drove home and I have,
by the way.
Thank you. That Beetle, I can fit the Western saddle in the trunk of the Beetle.
Is the trunk in the back or the front now? Because it used to be the front was the trunk and the back was the motor on Beetles.
It's in the back. And this one's like a hatchback because it's not a convertible. And so It has this like really open hatchback kind of thing. And so I put the saddle in there and I drove to my cousin's house and yeah, Merry Christmas. I cannot be grateful. Like oh my God, I'm dying. Oh my God, what is happening? So yeah, I got a car and I got a saddle and I think I'm done for the rest of my life. This is probably it. Now it's just, I go to tennis tournaments and.
I have a theory being a horse husband that.
Please.
Yeah. What we haven't talked about a lot on the show, I don't even know that we mentioned it, is that Chad went to Arkansas, and bought himself his fantasy car before he got you your car. So I think he's feeling guilty.
You think? Because that whole, I'm going to fly to Arkansas and buy my little toy car. He drives it home and
it's cute. It's cool looking, joke. By the way, too.
It's awesome. A little FJ Cruiser. It's really cool. And the whole thing was he was supposed to be looking for a car for me. That's how it started, this whole thing. And then he ends up buying the car. And then, but of course, remember, he's like, we need to get a garage for my car because the hailstorm. And I was like, sell the boat and you can park the car where the boat is. And so now I have my car and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to need somewhere to put my car. And what I realized is it fits in the barn aisle. So tornado days, I'm rolling that little beetle right down the barn aisle. I'll go park it.
That's funny. Speaking of your barn aisle, you'd be rolling it in on your worm flooring, wouldn't you?
It would be totally fine because I drive my Ranger in and out and the Beetle's not that much heavier. But yeah, the barn aisle is worm flooring and I just love it so, so much. It lasts forever. I'm really happy with it. You just blow it off and really, really happy with the worm flooring. And basically they just travel down this rubber kind of footing on top of my concrete, which was so slick, and I didn't want to use rubber mats. I didn't want to move rubber mats and blow under rubber mats and clean under them. And this way you just clean the top of it, just blow it out, and it's rubber and it's non-slip and they don't slip. They don't, it's really, really, really awesome. I'm super in love with it. I know I'm supposed to be reading some commercial,
we're okay. So yeah. And you can get it obviously for your horse trailer and eliminate your mats in your horse trailer as well.
I have it in my horse trailers too. See the barn owl one all the time.
I know we want to get ours done here. We sold our big horse trailer with the living.
Oh,
quarters.
Good.
We got that sold. I was shocked it sold so quick actually. And then we got a small two horse to pull around because we're not doing the long distance traveling like we did. So I need to get that done in there too. And if you want to get it done in an area near you, just check out wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you to get your floor done. So before we get to the NFR, I wanted to just bring a story to you. By the way, Mary, I'm so happy. You look so cute in your bug. She posted pictures on her Facebook page.
I would like you to know that my Beetle's name is now SpongeBob, and it will be that obnoxious SpongeBob car. I'm trying to find like a SpongeBob face magnet and the eyelashes. Well, SpongeBob has three eyelashes, very specific. Yes. So I need to get those particular ones for this Beetle, and I'm going to make it look like, so it's going to be like SpongeBob threw up in and around the car. I'm so excited. People are going to point and stare at the little SpongeBob car. It's going to be
fits
awesome.
You so well, though. It really does. I thought your last bug fit you too. All right. When we were growing up, I don't know, you're a generation behind me, so you might have had this. We had fears when we were children back before internet. And the things we were always told to fear were killer bees, that the killer bees were coming and they were going to attack us all and we were all going to die. And the other thing that kept coming up is quicksand.
Quicksand.
Yes. Well, and we always heard about you don't want to get stuck in quicksand. And there were all the cartoons about quicksand. And there were even instructions on how to get out of quicksand if you did get in quicksand. But then I never knew anybody in my entire life that got stuck in quicksand.
I know somebody who lost a horse. Atreyu lost Artax in the swamps of sadness in the quicksand. Duh.
Yeah. Okay. I meant real life. But I got somebody. It actually happened. Austin Dirks was on a 20-mile section hike of the Hey Duke Trail when he stepped in what looked like normal desert sand. A few minutes later, he was stuck up to his knees and couldn't get out.
That happened to Wesley and Buttercup too.
So this is what he said. I am the hiker who got rescued in this story, and I'll give some context as to why I couldn't get out of the quicksand. The advice I heard growing up did not work. So whatever all that stuff we heard about growing up about
spread out, lay back, he said, you know, swim.
He said, people say to spread out, lay back, increase surface area, and swim out. None of those things were possible for two major reasons. First, my leg was trapped behind me at a bent angle and locked in place like it had been poured in concrete. There was a huge amount of strain on my knee just keeping myself upright. Laying down or twisting, I could have dislocated my knee or broken something. I tried small movements to break the suction, and it wouldn't budge. Second, the air was in the 20s, and it was near water, and the water was just above freezing. I walked past patches of ice that morning. If I had laid back, I would have soaked myself in the stream flowing over the quicksand. In those temperatures, hypothermia would have killed me before the rescuers found me. I tried everything I could to shimmy free, but my leg was locked too tightly. Digging with my hands and trekking poles was hopeless because the stream filled the hole faster than I could clear it. By the time you see the drone footage, I am completely spent from hours of fighting in the sand. Nature won the first round. I'm grateful that search and rescue showed up, and I claimed the second round. So, my God, it actually does happen. God. I never knew. I just thought that was a myth, and it never really existed except in the cartoons and movies.
So this was in Arches National Park. And yes. So, and he, well, people, why are you hiking alone?
In the winter, in the streams and quicksand.
Why are you doing that? Austin, use better judgment.
Well, apparently he must have had one of those InReach devices on him to get rescued. I don't know.
Cool. That's great. It's, he still almost died.
But there it is. Quicksand is real, people. It actually does exist. And whatever you heard, just like we had to get under the desks for the nuclear drills when I was in elementary school, that wouldn't work either. So, you know, whatever you're told about quicksand doesn't work, and getting under the desk is not going to save you.
You mean the plywood desk with like thin metal around it? It's not going to save you from a nuclear attack?
Yes. It's so silly. And, you know, people think that's a myth. No, we did do that.
See, mine was growing up, we were always afraid of getting kidnapped. We were told we were going to get snatched in the grocery store, you know, so like, so you have to stay close because somebody's going to kidnap you.
Well, and
then,
like, gives you Atlanta. So.
It's like an intense fear of strangers, you know. Yeah.
See, I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. That was not a concern. All right, let's go to our guest today. Rachel Briggs is back with us. She was on a little while ago with her husband, and she's coming back because they spent some time at the NFR and Cowboy Christmas. We all remember when we had our horse husband on last month. His name was Jordan Briggs. Well, we also had his wife, Rachel Briggs, on. She's becoming a regular on the show now. Well, she's back with a report on the NFR and Cowboy Christmas. Hi, Rachel.
Hello, friends. How are we today?
Good. You sound hoarse.
Oh, a lot of she talking. Sounds like she's been in Vegas.
Yeah, 11 days in Vegas between smoky casino air, and also caught the Vegas crud while I was out there. Still recovering. I literally got home last night. So,
well, bless you for coming on this morning.
You hold on. You spent 11 days in Vegas and you're not dead. That's
amazing.
Yeah,
no, I feel that way. Poor Jordan. Jordan is actually, he had to drive back from to Texas all through the night last night. So I think they were in Amarillo this morning. But yeah, so he's gone totally for 18 days.
Oh my God. So what were you guys doing out there? What were you up to?
So Jordan works full time on the Pro Fantasy Rodeo and Rodeo Vegas team. So Pro Fantasy Rodeo obviously has their big game. They also have daily games throughout the NFR. So we had to manage all of that, as well as one of the largest watch parties and concerts and after parties that happens during the rodeo.
So who was the concert with?
Literally a whole lineup, Glenn. We had different artists every single night.
Oh, wow. Was it fun? Was the concerts good?
Oh my gosh, so fun. Yeah, like that's like one of the highlights. I love to look forward to that. And we give away Rodeo Vegas jackets to all of the artists. So I got to meet a lot of the artists this year. So that was really, really cool.
So what was attendance up, down? I know some of the events were canceled because of the whole, you know, sickness thing. So what was the scoop?
There was a ton of people there. Like, that people still showed up, people still came. Actually, even like the World Series of Team Roping, I was concerned about that because I know South Point, like you had mentioned, had canceled some of the events prior to that 21-day quarantine window. but the attendance was still there. And, you know, they were doing a lot of measures to make sure that everyone was really safe. Even the NFR, they modified the grand entry so that there were no grand entry horses, because so many contestants bring separate horses just for that. So they completely eliminated that too. So there was a lot of horses that didn't have to be in Vegas.
Oh, they just didn't bring in the show horses, the event horses, rather.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They just the ones that were competing, and then the flag horses were the only ones there on site of the Thomas and Mack. But people wise, it was insane. It was very, very busy. Everyone acted like they had great numbers. We had great numbers. So
I got to say, it was a good FR. Our boss Marla was there at the World Series of Team Roping. They gave out $13 million in prize money, Jamie. One event. It's like, oh my God.
I don't know. The team workers still showed up. That was for sure.
So, and Cowboy Christmas goes on at the same time. And I'm sure, I'm sure you didn't buy anything.
Oh my gosh. We actually had two booths there too. So we were there almost every day getting content for those booths. So I've never spent so much time at Cowboy Christmas in my life, but I did manage to do just a smidge of shopping while I was there. I didn't go crazy.
She only bought 3 saddles, 12 new outfits.
Hey, it's easy to do there. They just sucker you in with the deals. And you're like, well, it's already here in front of me. I like have to buy it.
You know, I don't think give people an idea of the scale of Cowboy Christmas. I don't think people have any idea of the scale.
Yeah, I would love to know how many square feet of it actually is.
I can tell you that. It's 500,000 square feet.
So, yeah, it is a full downstairs of the whole South Hall at the Las Vegas Convention Center. And then there's also a full upstairs. And they actually have kicked the Junior NFR out now for more shopping space. It is on, like, in a tent across the road. So they used to have the Junior NFR happening concurrently upstairs as well, but they actually took it out because they needed more shopping space.
Oh my God. 250,000 shoppers showed up last year, Jamie, to this.
Yeah, I could easily say it would rival that. It was very busy.
It is true. Everybody I know went. Even I was at the track this weekend, and two of the trainers I knew were like, they're at NFR. I'm like, where is everybody? Everybody's at NFR. My farrier went. Like my farrier in Arizona was. She goes every year. Like, it's just a destination. It's like Kentucky in April for me. For everybody else, like this exactly. Is like where everybody goes.
Oh yeah, no, we saw right like. Very high level reigning professionals there. We saw all, you know, people from all walks of the horse life there, which was really, really cool.
What was your favorite?
Yeah, I mean, go everybody, ahead. all from English riders to farriers to veterinarians to everybody goes to the NFR. We got to put it on our list, Glenn.
I know we've been talking about this for 15 years.
Yeah, next year actually AAEP will run concurrently in Vegas. During the NFR, so every horse vet in the country will also be there next year.
Oh my God.
So that'll be really, really
fun.
We
can cover both. We can get press passes to both, Jamie.
Let's do it. We gotta go.
Can you imagine what hotel rooms are going to cost next year?
Oh, I can only imagine.
Is there anybody that doesn't have a cowboy hat on that's there during this time?
No, not too many. I mean, even if you've got one, you're wearing it. I mean, as you should.
So what was your favorite? What stands out for you other than getting sick?
Well, just all of it. It was just such a different year. You know, we've always gone on our own accord and done some, you know, brand deals and stuff like that. This year we went full-time working for Jordan's company, which was very fun because it went from spending a lot of money to getting to be there and get to be on the inside of everything. I mean, the back end of all the production stuff, which was really, really cool. But that was unique. And then, you know, just the fun that people had despite it being a weird year. I posted in the auditor room the other day, the last round for the grand entry, the contestants still had to like walk out into the arena. Well, a bunch of the Saddleboro riders got together and got stick horses and came into the arena. So y'all need to check that out if you're an auditor in the auditor room. It's really, really funny. But just, you know, it was still so special despite having to modify things to be safe for the horses.
So where do you go? How do you get around? Las Vegas is so difficult to get around in the any day. How do you get around when there's that many people there?
Uber, or we really love the Tesla Loop. We use that a ton this year because we're staying at Resorts World. Yes. We use that more than anything. And they'll actually get, they told us this year, they're getting ready to open more stations. One of them going to be from the airport.
Describe what it is for people that have no clue what it's really
like. So basically the Boring Company came in and created all these tunnels underneath Las Vegas. And it's a bunch of Teslas that basically only the Teslas fit in these tunnels to go on these routes. And I actually didn't even realize the level of training some of these drivers, like all drivers have to have. We had some interesting conversations with some of the drivers while we were there. They actually have to have a ton of training and qualifications to actually have that job, which is nice because you're not just getting in a random Uber with someone that, you know, may or may not be qualified. But yeah, so basically it's just an underground method of travel through Las Vegas, and it's really cheap. It's like $5 a ride.
And do they just keep doing loops and you just hop in a car and go?
Yep. So basically you get down there, you scan the QR code, you tell them what, you know, station you want to go to. You scan it. They tell you, okay, if you're going there, get in this line. And you just get in as they drive in. You tell them where you're going and they're like, okay. And they get you there in, I mean, literally 5 minutes. It is so fast, so convenient. We loved it.
That's amazing. Hey, did you get to see any barrel racing?
Yeah, I did.
Because, I mean, to me, the story of the NFR was Trisha Aldridge and Adios Pantalones. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I am such a Trisha and Adios fan. I mean, if anyone doesn't know the story, she bought him as a weanling and she's brought him along. He's from the barrel futurity world. She's never made a run the rodeo end of barrel racing. And if you're not from the Western world, it's two kind of very segregated type of things going from the futurities, horse show type barrel racing versus rodeo. And so anyway, it was her first chance to chase the NFR. She made it in beautifully this year and then ended up second in the average, which was awesome.
Can you play the audio that I sent you right now?
I can't.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Because I have the phone connected. I can't do it at the same time.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, you listen back. We're going to play the audio right about now so you can hear it because it's an interview with Trisha. And I didn't know who she was, but she is my official new best friend. Awesome. I'm going to find her and she's going to be my best friend.
Yeah, she's such an advocate for that horse. And he's just a beautiful, beautiful unicorn. I've never won a barrel horse in my life until I saw audios and I was like, okay, I could use that.
Yeah. Amazing. Someday Butters is going
to... Like I said, even despite the challenges of it being a different year, there were still so many cool stories, cool moments to come out of this NFR. It's just always awesome. You know, it's always a history-making event.
Well, you also do social media, so this must be so cool for you because this is content galore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's easy when they give you a story like that. It's hard to beat it. You know, I mean, it's easy to share.
Well, Rachel, we really do appreciate you stopping by and coming on the show. Oh, one other final question. You did go to Vegas. How much did you lose?
Oh, actually, we ended up, we sat down at one slot machine. I mean, Jordan, I think, sat down a couple before I got there, but didn't really spend. We're not crazy on spending. We have some friends that did not end up, but we were only like $60 up. So we'll take it as a win.
Yeah, no. That doesn't count all the spending she did at Cowboy Christmas, no. Glenn.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's an exchange. I got some stuff to show for that, at least.
Oh, that's a good word, exchange. We've never used that word, Jamie. We have to add that to the vocabulary.
And everything was on such a discount. Obviously, it Rachel, was. It was basically free.
It's like it's free. It's right there in front of you. How can I not go home with it?
Now we need, I was just exchanging t-shirts. Now we need to add that to the t-shirt list. Well, Rachel, thanks again. We appreciate it. You have a great holiday, okay?
And appreciate you guys. Happy to be here. I will. See y'all. Bye-bye.
Okay, as promised, here is the audio. This is Trisha Aldridge, and she rides the beautiful Palomino stallion, Adios Pantalones, and here's her talking about her horse and her run with just somebody who's interviewing her.
Let's talk about the NFR you're having, your first year rodeo, and your first year at the NFR. You're now on the run for a world title. Did you imagine this?
No. I don't even know what I'm doing out here.
Looks like you do.
We're just having fun, you know. I know if my horse can stay happy and he has fun, he's going to take care of me, and that's just what he does.
Let's watch that run. Walk us through it.
Okay. Look how good he is in the alley. He was like, my mom's
showing her going around the barrels.
Man. Yeah, he was so good. I felt him just get a little slick here, but you can just see him keep that inside hind up under him. And right here, he really takes care of himself right there. And I'm really proud of him. He's a rock star.
What's the most amount of money someone's offered you for Adios?
Over $10 million.
Ooh.
And you didn't take it?
Didn't even hesitate. That's my best friend.
Holy crap.
So I know they think I'm all crazy, but you know what? I can't spend that money in prison, and the first time I see someone jerk on him in a warm-up pin, I'm going to be in prison. So.
That is so telling of how much you love that horse.
I do love him. He takes care of me. I'll always take care of him.
Let's talk about...
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so good.
$10 million.
I can't spend that money in prison. First time I see somebody jerk on him, I'll be in prison.
You are sisters.
I love her. I love her so much. I want to talk to her so bad. Like, I just, what a cool chick. Like, and she's doing the interview. She wears these crazy cowboy hats and like she's just chomping gum and she's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
She looks like she just came out of the back 40, you know, out working cattle.
Yeah. And that horse is like, that's my butter's dream right there. Big Palomino with white blaze and socks. And I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be Butter someday. Except for Butters to be gelded. And not worth $10 million.
Oh my God. There's so much money in Western. Do you realize that the take out the $13 million they gave away at Team Roping, the rest of the purse is added up to $12.5 million. I mean, there's $25 million, you know, given away in Vegas over those 2 weeks.
Man, I'm telling you, everybody goes to the NFR Glen. We got to go next year.
You know what? Equine Network's a big part of that team roping stuff, and they're out there and doing all kinds of stuff. So we could definitely get press passes. I don't know they'd pay our way, but we could get press passes anyway. So,
I'm still waiting for them to pay my way to Kentucky or anything. Yeah, okay, we'll see. I'm sure the check's in the mail.
Yes, I'm sure. I think we'd be on our own. Winter is officially here, and WeatherBeta is redefining cold weather horse protection with its Winter 2025 collection. The Winter 2025 collection features high-tech, waterproof, and breathable performance shells that keep moisture out while allowing heat and sweat to escape. Each piece is designed to last and withstand the daily demands of active horses in extreme weather. Every blanket is built for performance and backed by a comprehensive 3-year warranty on hardware, waterproofness, and breathability. Visit WeatherBeta.com. That's WeatherBeta.com.
Happy holidays to everyone at the Horse Radio Network. This is Jill Ekus from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the naughtiest thing my pony's ever done has decided that he no longer wanted to load on my janky trailer. I wrote a song about it. Rocking around the trailer ramp, there's a pony rearing up. It's ugly as sin, and he won't go in, and there's just no giving up. 1 foot on the trailer ramp, he pretends to fall asleep. I've got carrots and treats that he just won't eat, and he just won't budge his butt. Monty Roberts makes a dually halter you can buy. Equus lessons, repetition will solve this. Let's get one for each and every size. Walking on the trailer ramp, this is so much easier. If you listen to me, you can guarantee you can put those whips away. Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's a good one. I love it.
That was Jill, also from 2019. So before we get to our Neiman Marcus expensive gifts, I wanted to ask you one other thing about your car. Do they still make the bugs?
Okay. No, I think they quit making them in like 2019.
I can't believe that. I mean, they went all those years not making them, and then they started making them again. I thought they sold a lot of them, but maybe not enough.
Yeah, I think they've come and gone with it, but they quit making them in 2019. Mine is a 2014.
Oh, wow. So it's good shape, though, for 10 years old?
It's classic.
Yes.
Yeah, it's in great shape. Well, we did the Carfax, you know, you have to look at the Carfax, and it had damage like reported on all four sides, the front and back and the sides and the roof. And that was where the reported damage was. And Chad's like, did it roll over? And the sales guy was like, no, that was probably hail. And so it was fixed from hail damage. I'm like, I can take hail damage. It'll be fine. So yeah, don't mind that one bit. It's fine. You can kind of see a little bit of hail damage on it. It's fine. It's fine. That just takes the pressure off me when it's not perfect.
Is there a car in Oklahoma or Texas that doesn't have hail damage? I mean, no.
I mean, seriously. That's how Chad got his car. You guys know that when there's a hailstorm in Oklahoma, that's when you go car shopping. Get great deals.
Well, here's a few items that you can get for the holidays that Chad could have gotten you that are a little more expensive than what he did get you.
Oh, so basically, I really didn't score. Mm, now no, you're going to tell me about all the other things.
He was actually a cheapskate when it comes to this stuff. Okay. So when you when you walk into Teske's, the first thing you see is the 1,000 Western Sandals sitting there. And then hidden in the back, little corner in the back.
By the way, I did want to mention, they do have in the back corner, they have some English stuff.
Yes, I was going to say, hidden way in the back behind all the Western Saddles is this English section.
Shameful.
That looks like they had to put it in because five people requested it.
Well, I walked back there and it was like cobwebs hitting my face.
Well, one of the things...
Oh, I was the only person in that section.
We've been doing this Neiman Marcus list every year for 15 years. And this year, there actually is something horsey on the list. And that is,
really?
I don't know who this guy is, but there's a Western saddle you can get. A one-of-a-kind Western saddle designed by Christian Louboutin.
And Louboutin.
Louboutin. Louboutin. Do we know who Christian Louboutin is?
Yes. Yes, he is a designer. I think he makes shoes. Let me Google it real quick.
Okay, I'm not sure. But let me tell you about this saddle that he did. It has a seat and fenders recrafted with Italian leathers and adorned with more than 17,000 sapphire-toned strass crystals and sculpted flame appliques in lacquered red and sky blue. Other details include spikes on the cantle and his logo, tooled flourishes, an engraved French sterling silverwork. It's a lot going on in a saddle. Let me tell you, there's a lot going on there.
Okay, I'm looking. Yeah, he's a shoe designer, and you can buy a pair of ballet flats, like, you know, those little ballet flats. They're only $1,000. It's fine.
Well, this saddle, by the way, I gave you the link. I'll put the link in the show notes to all of these so you can see the picture of the saddle. But it's got a lot going on. There's a lot going on in this saddle. And you can have it for the mere low price of $47,000.
Oh, barrel racers.
Yeah.
There we go.
It doesn't look like a barrel racing saddle to me, but I don't know my Western saddles very well.
I got to go see.
It has all the thing. It has crystals. It has silver. It has tooling. It has colors. I mean, it has everything. It's got it all going on. And for $47,000, you can have one of your own. It's at the very bottom. Scroll all the way down and you'll see the saddle.
Okay. All right. I'll see if I can find it.
All right.
Well, that means if it's at the bottom, it's the cheapest one or the most expensive?
I think it's the cheapest.
Okay.
Now, while you're looking for that picture, you can get a Four Seasons Yachts inaugural voyage. It's an invitation-only preview for four guests aboard the Four Seasons One luxury yacht, sailing through the Mediterranean in the spring of 2026. That's for you and three of your friends for a mere $115,000 for 4 days.
Well, the saddle's basically free. And by the way, that saddle is very colorful. Yes. There's a lot of red and blue and sparkles and all sorts of fun stuff.
Wouldn't you cut your jeans on the crystals? I don't know.
I feel like it's going to rub a hole in your pants real quick.
The most expensive thing this year is a portrait session with Annie Leibovitz.
Oh my gosh.
The gift offers a once-in-a-lifetime 4-hour portrait session with a renowned image maker in her preferred New York studio. How much would you pay for that, Jamie?
Well, I'm not pretty enough to get photographed by her, so I don't know.
$500,000. $500,000 for that little
portrait session.
I think I'd go to somebody else to get my picture taken. A luxury expedition from Yellowstone to Amangari. I don't even know where that is. It's an 11-day journey through the expansive American West that includes exclusive access, luxury accommodations, and curated activities led by EXP Journeys. And you can have that 11-day trip for $490,000.
Oh, my God. That's a vacation for $500,000?
Yeah, for 11 days.
You know what? Rachel spent 11 days in Vegas. I wonder if it cost her $490,000. Well,
I don't think so, because apparently her transportation was only $5 a trip in the Tesla.
And she made money at the casino.
That's right. Headley Studios and Bugatti have a Neiman Marcus edition. Now, Bugatti's a car, right? It's a sports car. And they're very, very expensive Bugattis. This special edition model is a reimagining of one of history's most victorious race cars. And it's for $135,000, but you will not be driving this one because it's a model car. It's a It's a little model car. Little model car. Fit on your desk for $135,000.
Seems like a waste of money.
How about a Crayola personalized pet masterpiece? This gift is a collaborative and bespoke 3D sculpture of your pet, meticulously handcrafted from thousands of crayons by artist Herb Williams. So you could get your horse done as a 3D sculpture made out of crayons.
Was it like a drawing or the actual crayons like glued together?
Crayons into a sculpture.
Okay.
For $64,000. I don't know if it has a picture. Does it have a picture of?
They
of
do. Okay, car? There it is. I see pictures. Don't leave this in your car. It's going to melt.
Point. Good point. I didn't think of that. I didn't see the picture of that one. How about a Paris getaway hosted by Christoph? Christoph is a designer, isn't he?
I don't know. We're so bougie. We don't know any of this stuff.
The experience includes an exclusive behind-the-scenes discovery of Christoph in Paris, paired with hand-engraved mood cutlery set, a knife set, for $185,000. Or this one actually kind of would fit in the horse world, too, and it's very pretty. You'll see a picture of it there. It's a, I can't even say the words, it's a bespoke trunk. It's a wooden trunk, a singular trunk handcrafted by artists using Catan fabrics, and it's personalized and all of that. But it's this stand-up trunk that you put your clothes in. Could be very cool.
So, like, not a tack trunk.
It could. No, it's not specifically for a tack trunk, but I think you could use it for that. But that's only $180,000. So it would have to be in a Wellington tack room, not ours.
Somebody's buying it.
So it's a very odd collection, I think, this year of stuff you can get. It's very odd. I don't know. It was just an odd collection this year.
What, like you don't want crayon art of your dog? Like, come on.
This shows you how unbougie we are. I didn't know most of the words in the description.
You couldn't even pronounce the towns.
I couldn't pronounce the towns of the words. Obviously, nobody that can pronounce this stuff is buying it, right? If you can't pronounce it, you're not buying it. There you go. That's Neiman Marcus this year. I think you did better with your lowly 2014 bug. I think you did better.
And my bougie, expensive $1,500 Western saddle, which was like the cheapest one. And so they said it was like the kind of off, you know how like big manufacturers will make like really nice saddles, like say Circle Y, and then they'll make like the second.
Jennifer, what brand was your saddle? Oh, she has her headphones on. I think that you got the same brand because that's what she got. It was like the off brand of Circle Y or whatever.
Yes, that's what it is. Like the down brand of Circle Y. And you know what? It actually looks like hers and it's like 4 pounds. It's so great.
She loves hers. She says it's so comfortable to sit in. She loves it.
Yay.
Yeah. Oh, you got the same brand, I bet. I wish I could remember the name of the brand.
It was like Horse Sense or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember.
I'll have to ask her. So anyway, there's Neiman Marcus. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We appreciate it. We're going to have a whole week of shows for you this week, so keep tuned in. We're going to keep the holiday content going. I'm going to play you more songs as the week goes on as well. But for right now, we're going to head into our post show. We're going to talk about Christmas cookies.
High horse. High horse. I Googled it. Okay. High horse.
All right. Good. I don't remember what hers was, but I'll ask her. We'll find out. All right, everybody. Take care.
Spay neuter gals.
Congratulations. Oh, you made it through.
Try this one. I'm out of practice.
I didn't even notice. Whatever. High horse. That's it.